Here we are, Worldwide Live, through BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. I welcome everyone over here. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Magalia, California. Today it is the day of January 2017. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. You hear those dings. That's people coming in on the phone line. I welcome you all. We had a bunch of people join in here in the last 2 minutes. Thank you so much for being here. If you have a chance, please say patient.
Melissa in California.
Melissa, welcome.
Welcome. Hello. How are you?
Good. Who else?
Prudence in Asheville, North Carolina.
Hello, Prudy.
Oh, hi. All the way almost across the country. Yay.
Yay. Who else joined in? Say your name and look.
Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Vin. I very welcome you.
Yes.
Michelle in Cambria.
Welcome, yay.
Oh. What's that?
Michelle in Cambria.
Hello, Michelle. Yes. Welcome back.
Hi.
Another
Anyone
yay.
Else?
Yay.
Anyone else?
Morning. This is Mike in Nebraska.
Hello, Mike and Mary. A warm welcome to you guys.
Thank you.
Yay for Nebraska.
Anyone else?
Is that Aurora?
Say it again, Wynn.
Who said yay for Nebraska?
I did. I'm Carolyn in Chico.
Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Waking up.
Good. It's good to be awake for this call.
I shouldn't say that. This is Brandon. I am great.
Oh, good.
Who else joined in? Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Ron.
Hello, Ron.
I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Ron.
Yay, Minnesota.
Who else joined in? Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Anna from California.
Hello, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Heis.
Thank you for being here.
Don from Northern Ohio. Hi, Heis, everybody.
Hello, Don, and welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, Northern Ohio and California. Yay.
Hi, Heis. Demetrius.
Hello, Dimitri. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, sir.
Hi, Dimitri.
Hi there.
Hi, Dimitri. Hi, Dimitri.
Hi, everybody.
Good to hear
All right,
voice.
More people join in if you want to. Feel free to say your name and location.
Wave, North Carolina.
Who is this from North Carolina?
Wave.
Wave, welcome to the call.
Where?
Hey, North Carolina.
Marshall.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry from Dallas. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Dallas.
Hey.
Yay, Texas.
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Bonnie from Cleellum.
Hello, Bonnie. Where are you located?
Cleellum is east of Seattle.
All right.
Oh, yay, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. We are at 10:04. I welcome all those that are listening in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much for being here, participating with this, as to provide your intentions to make this world a better world. That's how I see it. And I welcome our sister, Terry Brown. I know you're here, Terry. Thank you so much for doing
Hello.
What you are doing.
Hi.
And good morning, Rick.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Good. All right. Of
Terry
course, we are not ready,
says,
but I think I'm going to close the phone lines.
Terry says, oh, my God, can I tell a blonde joke? No, not tonight. Not this morning.
No.
I'm on the same page with Daphne, though.
What's that?
Well, I don't know if it's the right thing to do to continue with it. I mean, I love the jokes, Terry, no misunderstanding. As long as nobody feels offended.
Oh, yeah, right.
Does Daphne not like it?
I believe that's what Ben told me, right?
Pardon?
She thinks it's irreverent, okay?
Oh, okay.
Of course, a couple of years ago, she says, hey, Wynn, you got a bunch of drunks and misfits on the line.
Well, I'll admit to being a misfit, but not a drunk.
Well, we had a couple of drunks in those days.
Sorry, Ben.
Huh?
I don't know if you hear what I'm doing over here, but with Anthony's time, we're up to par.
You're making clicks.
Yeah. Okay, that's all you hear. Okay, I thought you could hear what I heard.
No, you're making clicks while the sun shines.
Okay. Fantastic. I'm going to mute the lines. And, Brydwin, are you ready for that?
Well, wait a second. How many of you had rain in the past week?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Ton of rain.
The snow count?
Snow counts.
Snow in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Dallas did.
Isn't that unusual, that snow in North Carolina?
Yeah, like a lot of snow, yes.
Yeah.
But remember, I figured in my mind, I said, well, we had fires here not too long ago. Maybe this is Mother Earth's way of calming it down.
Yeah, well.
Or someone else.
You know, it's just another example of global warming.
Yes.
When did you see my email?
That you're leaving early and coming back early. Yes, I did. Thank you. All right, I'm not ready. You can start.
All right. Before I start, I thank every one of you for being here. And thank you, Vin and Teddy, for doing what you're doing. A great
appreciate.
I'm going to mute the lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
It's the 8th.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 8th, 2017. This is the second Sunday of the new year? Maybe, I don't know. No. Yes, it is. It's New Year's on Sunday. And the Earth is still spinning around the sun. We have that to be grateful for. Our world is still crazy. I don't know if we have to be grateful for that. But we all contracted to come in this period of time to hold an energy above the world, okay? I am in this world, but I'm not of it, okay? Sometimes. And sometimes you're in it and you say, let me out. There was a play a long time ago called Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And I actually saw that play in Philadelphia. I liked the title. When I was young.
Vin, can you do anything to your mic? It's so-so.
Is that better now?
Fraction.
Hello?
You're okay. You're okay.
Okay. So I have to speak up. That's what Heise is telling me.
Oh, you don't need to speak up. You're just fine.
I'm fine. Okay. So yesterday was one of those days, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. I was just miserable. And, you know, sometimes I go through this. I share it with you because sometimes you'll go through it. And sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know if I understand it completely, okay? But it feels like I'm storing up all this energy and a day comes that I have to release it. And it's kind of like I'm a dodo. It's kind of like a sleeping all day. Then I threw up, but I wasn't sick. I didn't have a flu or anything. I was just, and I'm probably still on the tail end of it, coming out of a releasing. And what I notice when I go through one of those things is it feels like when I come out of it, I am stronger. I am more together. It's kind of like, in the context of our group, there's an energy. This is not a static group. It's in motion. And it provokes people. I'm not saying it provokes everybody, but it provokes most people to move through something inside of themselves. And it can be a little confusing sometimes when you're going through that. I think the word is called processing, okay? And as you expand your hologram, as you start to connect with higher dimensions, which I would say that's one of the things we do in this group. We expand ourselves, we expand our energy, and we connect with things that we didn't even know were possible to connect with. And when that happens, it starts to surface. It's like you suddenly have a spotlight on the lower aspects of yourself, where at one point the lower aspects were all you had, and you were confused, and why are things this way? And as you start to expand into higher aspects of yourself, and this happens for everyone, I believe, as you start to do that, the lower aspects start to surface more clearly. You start to see them more clearly. And they have to come up. It's not just intellectual seeing. It comes up and it starts to process. And when it starts to process, sometimes you'll often go downhill for a bit before you kind of anchor your new position on the higher realms. And it happens for everyone. It happens for Terry, it happens for me, and it's a constant case of transmutation. And I think that how you deal with it is rather important, because if you don't deal with it in the right way, when stuff comes up, you start to judge yourself or feel frustrated. And you say, I thought I got over that. And you didn't, though, because there it is. So it's part of the process. And it's okay. You know, I took the name out of a hat today. I said, what have I never spoken about before? And I don't remember speaking about pride. And I observe people, and I observe their patterns, and I observe my own patterns. And pride is an interesting thing that humans do. And it can be both positive and it can be negative. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about it so that if you're observing yourself, you can observe this quality of pride, perhaps in a stronger, more accurate focus. Because, you know, in this realm, most of us have gone through, not everyone, but most of us have gone through unworthiness. We don't feel worthy. We feel there's something wrong with us. We feel we're not making the grade. And then you do something, or something happens, where you accomplish something. It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. But you accomplish something, and you latch onto it, because you did something that seems positive. And you then get proud of it. Like, oh my God, I felt the energy on the call. I'm connecting to the one infinite creator. I'm connecting to the Elohim. I'm somebody special. People do that, and that's pride, okay? And in a sense, when you have that kind of response to your experience, you're not quite getting it. It's okay if you have it. Look at it and don't judge yourself for having it. I mean, there's many ways. You can have pride when you solve a problem. You can have pride when you do something that other people appreciate. You can have pride when you suddenly do something that makes a lot of money, okay? And the negative aspect of pride makes you feel superior to another person. And that is separated, okay? And I used to do it. I understand it. It's like, and I realize I am not superior to anyone else. We are all one. You're all aspects of me and me of you. I looked up the definition of pride. The quality or state of being proud as inordinate self-esteem, conceit, a reasonable or justifiable self-respect. Now, the first one's kind of negative. The second one's kind of positive. In other words, if you can do something, if you can really accomplish something, you can give yourself credit for doing it. And that's not bad. But the inordinate self-esteem or conceit would be negative. The right or relation arising from some act, possession, or relationship. Ostentatious display. A source of pride. The best in a group or class. A showy or impressive group. And then, of course, there's a company of lions, which doesn't quite fit here. But we're all caught, I think, in how to relate to our accomplishments when we have them, okay? And I think it's a good idea to observe yourself. Because I know people, I watch people, some people get proud just because they have an affiliation with someone else who they look up to. and they think that makes them better. And of course, in the real world, that can work that way in terms of people's perceptions. Because if you know certain people, then other people want to know you because you know them or other people that they would hold in esteem. Like if you know somebody famous or if you know somebody accomplished. So the world does work that way. And you can't make the world not work the way it works. The key to mastery is learning how to flow with things in the best way. For example, like I just say in my own case, there are times when I'm meeting someone new, and I know if I say I'm an author, I will immediately get some self-respect, some respect from them. Not self-respect, but respect. And if I want to introduce them to some aspect of my work, then it's good to get some respect from someone else and tell them that, because it opens the door for me to be able to perhaps share more with them. But there are other people, if I say I'm an author, they'll suddenly put me on a huge pedestal, and they probably couldn't even understand the work I'm doing. They're more simple people. And I might lose ability to connect with them rather than gain ability, because they will put me into, they'll look at me higher, like as higher than them in some way. And that's not a good way to be able to communicate to somebody. I was looking here at the quotes today. There are two kinds of pride, both good and bad. Good pride represents our dignity and self-respect. Bad pride is the deadly sin of superiority that reeks of conceit and arrogance. That's a good definition of both sides, okay? So, conceit is not a good quality. Conceit makes you feel better than someone else. It's not a great thing to have, to be able to communicate something of value to someone. And of course it leads to ego, like I'm better, I know more, I'm smart, I felt the Elohim, or I got this award, or I'm faster than anybody else at my job, you know, all those things. So, here's something from St. Augustine. It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels, okay? So, when you can talk to somebody from a place of equality, you will stand far more chance of reaching them than if you talk to somebody from the place of I know and you don't know, okay? Which is conceit. Now, it may be true. You know lots of things they don't know, and that's okay. And do they want to know what you know? They may not. They may not be ready for it. And you have to tell somebody what they need to hear, not what you think they don't know and you want to show on them. I've learned this. I mean, let's see here. Here's another one. Through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves. But deep down, below the surface of the average conscience, a still small voice says to us, something is out of tune, as Carl Jung. By building relations, we create a source of love and personal pride and belonging that makes living in a chaotic world easier. That's from a lady named Susan Lieberman. And that sounds like what we do on these calls. We are building relations. And in doing that, I think every one of us feels a sense of connection to this chaotic world, makes it easier to be in it, okay? I mean, when you look at all the things going on in the world and all the points of view and the things that are looking one way, but they're really another, okay? And all the disinformation, all the fake news, it's incredible. I mean, I thank God or thank the higher realms that I've learned to figure some of this stuff out. And maybe some of you are learning. Because otherwise, it's a nightmare, you know? What's real, what's not real? Who do you trust, who do you not trust? And then it's very frustrating for me when I have come to the conclusion that something is a certain way and someone else comes to a completely opposite decision, that it's not this way, it's that way. Now, I have the confidence that, and I may make a mistake, but when I come to a conclusion about things, I've usually researched it up, down, right, and left. And it's very frustrating to see how people create, how should we say it, other people who they trust and they shouldn't. People who say certain things. And in this world, and I am sure this is true, there are very masterful perpetrators of illusion. You could call them the negative. You could call them ETs. God knows what. But they're very clever in the way they get people to trust a point of view that's totally wrong. And that people then start quoting that point of view. You have to be very careful with this, because just because something is popular and everyone's quoting it doesn't mean it's true. And you have to look beneath the surface of things and try to figure out what's really going on. Now, there is enough information on the internet to figure most things out. There is. But you have to be able to see through the illusions. A lot of times I look at what's the person's motivation. Just because somebody is perpetrating a point of view on the internet, and even when they sound right, they can believe it themselves. They could have been taken in. In fact, many people are, and they have a lot of passion about their point of view. And it's not easy to figure those people out because their passion seems so sincere. But we're going to be making decisions over the next years, that if we make the wrong decision, then we could be really screwed. For example, one agenda is to create people who are charismatic leaders who will lead people in the wrong direction. And what is the wrong direction? You know, it's like there are certain decisions that if you make them, they're irretrievable, at least for a long, long, long time. Like, there is one point of view, and somebody sent this to me, and I should read it, actually. And there's somebody I know and I like, and I can't even begin to talk to them about any of this stuff without getting into a huge argument, okay? But let me see here. There it is. I'm not going to say who the person is, but, and you know what? They're highly intended. They are. And you know, wait a second here. I found the email they sent. We've talked about ETs. And how this whole thing of ETs is very skewed. And all the people that are thinking ETs are going to save us. All right? And I'll read this there. You'll see. Spacecraft will appear in the skies, large arcs, as aircraft carriers, and will be converted into arcs to carry animals and humans to safety to the inner Earth. Starships will arrive to take people to planets, waiting while the Earth burns on the surface, making way for a new Earth. Ye who will hear this message are the people of the new world to come, and shall inherit all things from our Heavenly Father forever. And the full even tide of that day which comes shall behold you caught up into the heavens to escape the end of all things, when the earth also and works that are therein shall be burned up. The seeds of corruption sown in the hearts of men by evil germinated and thrived, and that began some centuries after the time of Atlantis, a long, steadily downward course, which weakened the self-respect, manhood, and womanhood of America, Russia, China, a loss revealed in countless ways, culminating in national depravity and ruin. So what are they saying? They say the Earth is going to be destroyed and the people will be saved to get on these ships. Okay? Now, I will continue to evaluate that as a possibility, but that is not what I get. I get there is a possibility that there's going to be difficult times on planet Earth, and maybe the probability of that. But is getting on spaceships the solution, okay? So I'll give you two alternative points of view about getting on spaceships. One came from this book, Voyagers, which I've quoted from various times, where I found a lot of correlation between our work and the information in that book. It's very hard to understand, so I'm not recommending reading it. But it was a book that in 2002, when I was in a bookshop with Daphne, Daphne handed it to me and said, they want you to read this. And I've been tracking it. There's a lot of correlations in the book of things that have happened. And what that woman says is, she says somewhere in the book that they're going to use spaceships to cause people to walk into a, what's the word she used? A matrix where their soul gets destroyed. Because there are ETs that want to take over our planet. I'm sure of that. You haven't ever looked that up. And a lot of the stuff of the Illuminati and all that stuff behind it are ETs who are controlling that. And so that's one point of view, that you know, that you're going to be tempted to walk into a field that screws up your whole matrix through ETs. And the same thing may happen with the hologram of Jesus being projected from the sky, that people think is Jesus coming back. Okay? So I'm talking about these things so that if you ever find yourself in the position of wondering what to do, you can carefully evaluate it and see if you really, really, really trust it, okay? I mean, there may be ETs coming down and doing things to gain our trust, like healing diseases or something, which I believe they can do. And is that reason to get on a ship? And then you ask yourself about Steven Spielberg's movie, which I loved when I saw it years ago, which was Close Encounters, where everybody was walking towards a ship and getting on it. And there were a bunch of grays welcoming them. Of course, at the time I saw the movie, I didn't know what grays were. But I do now. And grays are one of the principal ET groups that wants to take over our planet. Okay? So, that's one possibility. And then another possibility, you know, there's other possibilities. But none of them that I have come to be associated with are positive. And that, from what I'm saying, it would be better to have a physical body death on Earth than to get on a spaceship and go into a zone where your soul gets fragmented. But how is someone ever going to figure that out that never looked at these things in advance? So, you know, I'm telling you this, so if you ever find yourself in the position of having to make that decision, then consider this. Consider it before you jump onto a ship, all right? And now, I may be wrong, but, you know, Carla Ruckert and I had discussed this when she was alive, and she said the higher sources would not do that because it would infringe on somebody's free will. Things that cause a person to give up their power, do not come from Elohim Ra. And when you have something, you know, we have miracles in our group. We don't go around saying, how can I say it? Come in this group and have a miracle. Well, maybe I do sometimes. I say, there's a possibility. But they never happen on demand. Our sources usually don't even take credit for it, but they do happen. But miracles cause people to give up their power. Look at Jesus. And you know what? If you could just constantly do miracles and make everything good, there'd be a whole team of people doing miracles, fixing everything. The problem is, usually, people have a miracle, and it didn't really change them. They go right back to their old patterns, okay? So it's a trick to figure out how to cope with all the decisions you're going to have to make over the next years in on this planet. And, of course, everything is still unfolding. And as the Ra group said in either the Ra material or the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, that things are going to fall apart one wheel at a time. They also said it's possible for there to be a whole coming together of the planetary energies, and the whole planet would ascend. Now, there's a lot of people saying the whole planet's going to ascend, okay? And they don't say it's a possibility. They say it's definitely happening. So is the whole planet going to ascend? That's not what our source is saying, okay? In fact, they say there's going to be a division of souls. There's going to be this group that graduates and this group that are cycle repeaters. And there's too many people who have negative polarization in this realm. And they'd have to change their polarization. And why would the universe force upon them free will, which should be a free will choice, and say, the whole planet's going to ascend, and you have to change your polarization? And who's to say that's even possible? You know, when somebody is entrenched in a particular negative point of view, they don't change their polarization. I mean, how many of you have ended up talking to someone and trying to give them, shine some light on who they are, and you're absolutely stonewalled, even though you know this is true. Even though you know this is true, you can't communicate it to most people, but very few people. And so how is our whole planet going to ascend when people's conscious minds are so far from those frequencies? So these are things to be aware of. And if you're going to get pride in any aspect of yourself, use the pride in a positive way so you have more confidence and you have more self-esteem. Don't use it to feel superior over someone else, because that will get you in trouble. And I wonder if Terry has anything to add to all of this. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry Brown.
Hello. Yes.
We're starting to hear you. You're coming in. Speak.
Okay.
Terry?
Yeah. And in the area of pride, it's I found that pride goes before a fall, in that maybe something will happen, like one thing happened one time where I thought, oh, how could that girl be so stupid, and she's creating a big fuss. And it was followed by me having a big accident and creating a much bigger fuss.
Now, which girl was stupid?
Well, we were at a swimming pool, and the girl stubbed her toe and was creating a big fuss about it, and I was, in my mind, putting her down for creating a big fuss, and it was immediately followed by me having a big accident at the swimming pool. And so I kind of learned not to feel like I'm better than somebody else because of what happened, because it was immediately followed by this huge accident that I had and created a much bigger fuss than her.
Mm.
And it's takes your attention off your own process and put your attention on somebody else and says, well, I'm better than they are. But it didn't, I don't know, I learned a big lesson there.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, talking about all this ET stuff, is I should mention David Wilcock, who I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce about. And of course, if you read the book, you know that it had awesome channelings in it, wise beyond belief. I mean, there is a testimonial on Amazon where somebody said some of the most lucid and loving spiritual advice wisdom I have ever read. And, you know, when I was writing the book, I used to think David was that wise. But he wasn't. I don't even know if he understood his own channelings and the value of them. Because once the book came out, he went another direction, and we don't speak to each other anymore. And now, he, for years, he would endorse the raw material. Usually, he wouldn't even say Carla's name, but he would say it's the most advanced material on the planet. And he believed that he was channeling the same raw. And now he's talking about bird space people, avians, blue avians. That he says are the actual beings that delivered the raw material to Carla Rucker, and they're here watching our planet in some way, saving us. And it makes no sense. It sounds like a whole psyop to me. And, you know, whenever I've spoken to Carla or Jim about that, they said there's no way the raw group would be doing that. And, you know, my understanding is the Ra group is energy forms at this point in higher realms. They're not physicalized. And the one point in the Ra material where they talked about being visible in the earth plane, they were able to project a light hologram of a body and then walk in this plane amongst us. But that was a projection. It was not a real body. And David is talking about these birds. And it's like, it feels to me like there's some agenda there. And it'll have to be discovered over time. But I would not endorse it. I wouldn't endorse things that come out from David. And, you know, I'm caught in a bit of a dilemma because here I wrote the book that has given David a huge amount of credibility, okay? And to me, he's abusing the credibility. Now, maybe he doesn't know he's doing that, okay? Maybe he believes in what he's saying. But to me, it doesn't feel right. I feel, you know, a level of uncomfortability with it because of that. But in any case, it's good for me to say that every so often, so that the key is be careful who you follow, including me. Life is being made up moment by moment by moment. And that on some level, we have to figure out our own discernment. We have to figure it out in the moment. And I'm just telling you things to think about so that if you're in a position and you have to make a decision, then maybe these things will help you in that moment. And consider that I might be wrong. I might be. You have to do your own research. I'm not telling people I'm right. But I can talk about it for a long time, and I've thought about it and I measured it. I don't like talking about these things, these negative possibilities. But nonetheless, I have looked at them, and there's a consistency in this idea that ETs are trying to take us over. And you can look at it yourself and see what you come up with, okay? So, on that note, it's 11:51. Well, for some reason, I'm getting to noon faster today. Usually, I'm run over. Let's see. I'll take a moment to see if anyone has anything they want to share.
Wynn, may I speak up for? I finished listening to the New Year's Eve call last night, and that was especially the channeling at the end was very amazing. I want to thank you for that, and there is some great wisdom in there, and that's what I just want to speak out to everybody here. If you get a chance to listen to the New Year's Eve call.
Yeah, well, you know what? I had someone that I thought was channeling Jesus. And I did an interview with Jesus. And, you know, I've been observing this person who was doing this channeling for quite some time. And did you notice all the questions I asked to the guy that identified himself as Jesus, that tied in with all our other material and how consistent the answers were?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that, Hans?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
It all fits in.
Yeah, she didn't know it. She didn't know anything. She didn't know what I was going to ask, and she didn't have that perspective. Her relationship with Jesus was more traditional. But I asked questions that tied in with Terry Friedman, that tied in with the raw material, and it was amazingly correlative, kind of blew me away. That's why I played it, okay? But thank you. Thanks for commenting.
Now, is there a part two that you're going to bring out or is out already?
I haven't had time to go through it yet. I have to see in part two, I was asking things about myself. And I don't know if I want to put that out, okay? You'd like to hear it?
I'd like to get to know you better.
Well, you know me. I mean, geez, all you need to know is that I'm awesome.
No, you know, the channeling was very, you know, about also what happened in the life of Jesus, how he went through, you know, the crossing and stuff. It was very interesting and very deep going. And if there's more available of that interview you had, I mean, I would love to hear it. Yes.
Well, I'll have to listen to see if there's anything that's earth-shattering in it. But I may do some more interviews with Jesus and see what happens. See if I liked what comes up. You know? Did you come from a background of being a Christian, Heise?
You know, I was raised a Christian, but from, you know, young child, I it didn't make sense to me, but I was taught and I never believed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, the real story is really incredible, the real story of Jesus. But in any case, I was just going to unmute people, see if anyone wanted to make a comment about any of the stuff we're talking about. Hang on, here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
I have a question. That wasn't the New Year's Eve call. That was the Christmas Eve call.
Right, yes, Christmas you're right. Eve. Christmas Eve.
Yeah. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah. We're 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a question.
Who's that? That's Bonnie, right?
Yes, it is. It often bothers me if you look at the God the Father and Christ and how he was on the cross, and I just really wonder, you know, how a father could allow his son to be killed. Could you go over that, review it again? You probably have, but
Bonnie, how long did it take to do it? How long have you been paying attention to our calls?
I get in now and again, so it's not, I'm not consistent, but it's been probably 2 years.
Okay.
And that's why I say you probably had said it before, and that's why I mentioned, I know I probably missed it.
I mean, some of the stuff that I've come up with about Jesus, I don't like to say it. In a short way. We've done calls where we've gone to it in depth. But
right.
if I say it just like, well, this is the answer, it sounds like I know the answers and you should believe me. And I don't think people should have that attitude towards
mm-hmm.
the way I come up with information. And the whole thing about Jesus is far more complicated than the way religious stuff would take it, okay?
And that
partially from what I've uncovered, Jesus, the whole Messiah thing about Jesus, you know who the Anunnaki are? Have you ever heard that word?
Yes, oh yes.
Yeah, well the Anunnaki, from my research, were a group of ETs that were playing God to humans. Somebody agreed with me, I guess. Oh, boy, they got me. They weren't supposed to tell them that. they were playing God to the humans. And the whole Old Testament was Anunnaki gods. Not the God in the way we're led to think of God.
Exactly. And, thank you.
And the Anunnaki were using the idea of God to control people. And they wanted to come up with a super God. And they were making predictions for a super God who was going to be Jesus. And Jesus was coming into that. So the whole Messiah thing was an Anunnaki projection. And then the Ra group, and maybe the Elohim, but the Ra group intervened and connected with Jesus. And Jesus dumped the whole Messiah thing and went around with his disciples who would write down everything he said and to try to correct the Anunnaki thing of using Jesus to control the masses, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that
the idea of sacrificing him for our sins was an Anunnaki idea, and the idea of religion was an Anunnaki idea, and the idea that if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to go to hell was an Anunnaki idea. So that aspect of religion is somewhat distorted. But the fact that Jesus was connecting with really, really high sources, and you could call them the Father, because, you know, I mean, it's a way of looking at it. The Elohim is kind of like an oversoul above us. So if you want to call them Father, fine. Go accept that. If you want to call the one infinite creator Father, fine. But it probably goes deeper than that. Does that help?
Yes, you just reinforced. Okay. Zachariah Sitchin, was he the one that wrote about the Anunnaki?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, but, yep. You just put the pieces of the puzzle together. Thank you so much. Yes.
And Bonnie, also, if you have a chance, if you can listen to that recording, as we just talked about, from Christmas Eve, it will, for a big part, answer what you asked earlier as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I got something.
Okay, who is that?
North Carolina. Okay, well... One of my favorite, as far as her question again, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you're sent on a mission and, you know, that mission, you know, is going to have a certain outcome. But anyway, my favorite thing about Jesus is Lynn Buchanan, remote viewer extraordinaire, and of course they just are given blind targets. He said of all the thousands and thousands of people they remote viewed, only one person, you know, noticed, and he said he came across a figure that had, like, the most overwhelming love, and, you know, eventually this figure turned to him and kind of smiled or waved, and he was blown away, because whatever they're doing in whatever form, no one ever noticed, and when he was done with this session and they found out who he was sent to view, it was Jesus. Very interesting. And then also, I think wow. You know, there's so many books out there and so many different sources, but, you know, their ranch just seems to have a very detailed part of Jesus, which correlates with most things, saying that, you know, he indeed had higher sources and indeed came to show in his time, you know, how things really work. And as far as the birds, you know, so many people talk about the avians or the bird tribes. I mean, who knows what the bird thing is about? But I just wanted to share the Jesus anecdote because it's so non-religious.
Yeah, well, thank
and
you for sharing.
It's so objective because, you know, they don't even know if they're going to view a person, a building, whatever. So
yeah.
He came around at the back door. And I was not raised Christian at all, so I pretty much was a blank slate. Mm-hmm. And my neighbor, though, I got to tell you, someone walked down the street and said, wanted to put something in my mailbox. They said, you can't do that without a stamp. I figured it was a tract, a religious tract. And eventually said, do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? And, you know, I knew that I didn't in the way she meant. But, you know, I kind of said, yes, I believe in the holiness of Jesus. And answered it that way. Okay, thank you, people.
Well, thank you for sharing. And keep in mind, for a few years, we had a guy who I believe is the reincarnation of Matthew on our group, who wrote a book about his memories. And it's a very interesting book, very inspiring. It's called Man Who Walked. No, the website is manwhowalked.com. And you can get the PDF of the book for a donation. Many, many people have been really touched by that book. Anyone else? Do I see Anna Kaltzman there?
I am here.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
I just thought I'd say a special hello, okay? And do I see Fred here? Fred, are you there in Alaska? You don't want to say anything, right?
It might not be him. It was filled out behind the number.
And I see Cynthia Akarachi. Are you there, Cynthia? All right, I better not do this.
Yeah, I'm here. I was muted on my phone, so it takes a second to get them.
I sound great.
Yeah, your heart, your words,
I can be so proud of myself. I sound great.
No, you speak so from the heart. Nice. Nice to hear you.
All right, nice to hear you. Okay. All right. Hey, we're muting everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I was just giving Cynthia a hard time because, you know, I don't think of myself as sounding great or being awesome ever. You know, every moment is a new moment to conquer that moment and be authentic and true in that moment. And, you know, when people make a comment, this whole thing about pride, I mean, at one point in my life, when I was younger, I said, geez, I want everyone to love me. I want to be really great and all this stuff. And now, I mean, if people like what we do, it's great. But I don't get attached to it, you know? But thank you, Cynthia, and thank you, people that do that. I guess I got to put up with it. But in any case, we are going to go into our planetary healing. And Hives, are you there?
Yes, Vin.
Are you going to be there for the healing list?
Eventually, yes.
Oh, you haven't left yet?
I came back already, and I'm just wondering if Colleen is going to be here or not.
Okay.
But I need to leave again at 11:45.
A quarter to 12?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll watch the time. Hopefully, we'll get it in before then. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, as you all probably know, every Sunday, we do a healing session. And we have learned that we can, by our intentions, cause our energies to combine, to blend. And it's a temporary blending. No one is locked into it. It's like some people might be afraid, I don't want to blend with those people. Or I don't want to blend with anyone, or I don't want to lose my independence. Well, in this situation, from my experience, and no one's ever complained about it, you don't lose your independence. You actually get more independence by having the power to blend than trying to hold on to your independence. It's kind of like, if you're going to love, love is from the letting go. It's a blending with another person or a group of people. And the key to it is having the strength to blend and maintain your own sovereignty through the whole exercise. And then there's no limit to your potential, because not only can we blend with each other, we can blend with our sources, our group souls, they can blend with us. And when we blend with holograms that are bigger than us, we become bigger. We start to get the feeling of being bigger. And the whole experience of that is probably how some of the ideas of God have come about. Because it's kind of rare to have a verbal ongoing relationship with these sources where they can actually explain themselves from their point of view of how it actually works. Because you can see how easy it would be to have the idea of God. Because when you blend with something bigger than yourself and you feel the expansion of that, if you want to use the word God, fine, because it works. But in the fine points of it, it's really group souls, group energies. And it's, at least, I shouldn't say it is that way. That's what it seems to be. That's what they've told us. And I think that's probably more accurate than the traditional idea of God. But it doesn't matter, because the traditional idea of God works. And they can feel the reaching of intent from this level to their level. And they don't care what you call it, as long as it's pure. So we see ourselves in our little bodies, in our little contracted space, and we tap into the energy of the higher realm. And we just use our imagination and see the energy coming down through the top of our head. It's called your crown chakra. The crown chakra is the gateway to intelligent infinity. That's how it's described in metaphysical stuff. And so it's the gateway to these group souls, or the gateway to God. Doesn't matter. You can use either word. And we can see the energy coming in through the top of our head. And moving through our bodies and helping us correct our own energies where we have blockages. So let's move the energy through from the top of our head, down through our neck, through our chest, through our solar plexus, through our groin, through our legs, and into the earth. And now we have a huge circuit going from the celestial realms through our head, through our bodies, and into the earth. And of course, the earth is alive, and we say hello to the earth. Let's tell the earth we love her. And now, let's go sideways, and let's touch each other. We have all of us on this line reaching. Let's reach towards each other, and we can blend our energies with each other. So we're creating a group energy. We can just feel the space of this expansion. We're going above our heads, down to the earth, sideways to each other. And we are creating this huge expansion. Now, how do you know we're doing that? Well, one thing is you can feel how it feels to be you and see if there's a shift. You can feel there's a peacefulness in the energy. And you can feel a sense of being loved that comes in from the higher realms. When we have a group energy like this, you know, the physical realm is constantly being reconstructed from the higher realms. And that when something shifts on the higher realms, it translates into a shift in the physical realm. Which is how miracles happen, or synchronicities happen. Because something moves on the higher realms and creates a movement in the physical realm. So, think of things that you would like to shift. What would you like to move in your life? Who would you like to send healing energy to? And just do it right now. And we are going to move down to our healing list. And these are people who have put it down in writing, things they'd like to shift, and Hayes is going to read the list. I hope. Are you there, Hayes?
Yes, I am. And I will refresh the list. Let me see. Yes, it's still the same. So we start with Deb in Lapine, Oregon. And Deb is stating, please send love and light and grace to me and my cats, healing for my cats and me. Align my chakras. Please assist me in getting past myself, love and light to earth. Thank you. Bonnie in Corona, California. Love, light, and blessings to my family and friends on the other side. Love, light to my sons, Alan and Evan. Love, light to Jackie, Brian, Travis, and baby Landon. Love, light, and abundance to Scott, Fred, and Gary, and Phoenix Unlimited. Love, light, and blessings to Wynn, Terry, Ra'an, and everyone on the call and listening to the replay. I love you all. Please help us release karmic ties that bind us to this realm. Kay in New Mexico, send healing to all planetary issues for resolutions for the highest good of all concerned and blessings to all people associated and listening to Wynn and Terry's work, also to Fred Brooks and Ed Spina. We are grateful for all. Thanks. We are grateful. Another one from Kay in New Mexico, We ask for healing for myself and all my cats, for perfect health, perfect resolutions of all issues, and clear divine guidance in all areas of our lives to feel extreme joy and enthusiasm and easily make all decisions we have to make in the coming few days and weeks. We are putting great effort in this. We are putting great effort into this and expect all for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you. We are very grateful. Thank you. I am grateful for the perfect health all of us are now enjoying, which is myself and all my cats. I am grateful, requesting all the divine answers necessary, and I am experiencing the presence of the highest power within, and have faith, calling on patience and strength to apply wisdom and understanding while making important decisions, knowing that miracles and all answers come to me easily and naturally, and all assistance needed becomes available as divine ideas and revealed to me with clarity. I am doing this with great joy, excitement, love, and great faith. Thank you. We are very grateful. Next, we have Ken in Oregon, in Damascus. I would like to give thanks for assistance given to my brother-in-law, Mark Flagg, who passed over before the Christmas holidays, and hope he was able to take advantage of the light elevator provided to him. I would like to put Portland and Mount Hood areas into the love light. I would also like to put Lori, Tammy, Echo, my sister Linda, and Dad into the love light. Thank you. Tammy in Damascus, Oregon. I would like to put my mom, Sandra, brother Tom, Dad, Ed, and myself to the love light for healing, protection, and success with all of our projects. I would also like to put my friends, Lori and Kenny, Emily, Gwen, Carmen, Nancy, Christina, and Debbie into the love light. Also with much gratitude, Wynn, Terry, Fred, and Liz for assistance with their great work. Lots of love light to everyone. Dawn in Greater Cleveland, Ohio. I would like to place my brother's cat, Floppy, into the love light for healing. Thank you. Vicky in Westlake Village, California. Healing for back and neck pain and any underlying issues that may be exacerbating inflammation in these areas. Next, we have Eileen in Pittsburgh, PA. Thank you so much for healing so far. Please help fix blue chakra and clear all past hurts so I can truly help people. I am eternally grateful for all and any help given. Much love and peace always. Lon in Hanover, Pennsylvania. General healing energies for Lon Stricker. Thanks. Love all. Jim. Sherry in Bozeman. Safety and protection for refugees throughout the world. I think that's an important issue. Love light with the physical healing is requested for Nick. Love light for Cherry's heart and arteries to and from the heart. Thank you. Next we have Eileen. Yes. I want to thank the Elohim and Ra group for healing. I am very grateful and humbly ask if it is possible to heal my blue chakra. I need help, please. Thank you so very much. Peace and love. And that was the healing list for this week. Win the mic back to you.
Okay, so let's hear from our sources. Let's hear if Terry's there. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Sure. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone listening to this call for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protective space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and we turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. We move into the areas of the third density and where we see blockages of flow, and to send grace into these areas that the energy may begin to flow. This moves all the way from the grid lines of Earth to the energy that is moving throughout Earth, and we see where there are blockages to the movement of energy. This is areas where earthquakes occur as the energy stops and then needs to be released and is often released with earthquakes or with the mountain volcanic eruptions. In the past few weeks, there have been more volcanic eruptions releasing this energy. This principle of energy flow extends not only from the body of Earth to the body of the individual people. And so we look at the two people on the healing list who are asking for healing of the chakras. The blue chakra does not just work alone. It works with the other chakras within the body, with the heart chakra. As the heart is open, then the person finds ways to express their feelings easier through the blue throat chakra. The chakras act in tandem with each other, so the healing of one involves the coordination with the other chakras. We
take a look at the cats that have been put into the light. This poppy. And the symbol light. Floppy, and that any interferences in Floppy's body may be dismissed, so that Floppy may again experience his full energy. To Deb's cats and Kay's cats, we send energy. We see faithfulness increase. We see also that with the energies that are built up in the earth, the energies coming into the area of Oregon, off of the Pacific coast, that creates an anomaly in the area and the animals pick it up. There's not just one system alone, like the cat and the cat's body. The cat is connected and coordinated with the surroundings that the cat is experiencing. We see the energy coming off the coast of Oregon, Washington, and California to the continent of the United States is creating release of energy in Mount St. Hood and Mount Hood and in Rainier, and know that there may be earthquake swarms in those two volcanoes. We see Portland snug in the area, the people celebrating from the New Year, and we see the warmth of the families, and this is all creating an energy complex that is very healing. We send a light to Bonnie and Bonnie's family and the people that have crossed within her family and friends. We thank each and every person who is attending the calls, and we send you barrels of energy for healing and for the healing of the things you have requested.
Thank you. You know, I wanted to ask the question. You know, I noticed you were saying there were swarms of earthquakes going on in Mount Hood. When there are swarms, is that an indication that prayers of people are working to make smaller releases?
That is one of the things that affects the swarms.
Mm-hmm.
And having the energy released in smaller doses rather than in one big dose.
Mm-hmm. And does the Earth herself participate in that choice